frightened, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And it gets quoted a lot, doesn't it? And this is about our testimony. Always be prepared to give an answer to everybody who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared. And it's a real challenge to us, isn't it? What is our testimony going to be about? What is it? What is it? Okay. There's another verse that I just want us to read. It's 1 John 1, verse 3. 1 John 1, verse 3. It says here, and it's just talking about, we proclaim to you that we have what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. We proclaim what we have seen and what we have heard, so that you will have fellowship with us, so that you will join us. Okay? And when I talk about our testimonies and being prepared to give an account for what we've seen and what we've heard and the hope that we have, okay? If you look in Acts 26, Paul in Acts 26 is in front of King Agrippa, is it? That's his name, in Acts 26. And in Acts 26, okay, he gives an account of how he's in front, he's hauled up in front of this king and told that he needs to give an account and explain himself for what he's doing and why he's doing what he's doing. And he's given this speech in front of the king, and the whole of Acts 26 is about him explaining what his life was like before he met Jesus, what his life was like when he met Jesus, and how he met him. And then it was about what his life was like after he met Jesus. And in Acts 26, actually, if you follow it through, verses 2 and 3 are about him explaining the situation, the context of why he's here in front of the king. In verse 4 and 11, and we're not going to read it, you can read it in your own time, Acts 26, okay? In Acts 26, in verses 4 and 11, he talks about what his life was like before, and he persecuted the Jews. You know that he was raised to be a scholar, okay? He talks about it many times throughout the New Testament, about how he was raised, that he was, you know, something that other people looked to, okay? And then in verses 12 to 20, it talks about how he met Jesus. That he was off on a trip to Damascus, and he met Christ, and Christ cried out to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Jesus Christ." Okay? And that's how he met him. And then he goes on in verses 21 to 23. To talk about what his life is like afterwards. And, you know, when I talk about, it sometimes, when people say a testimony, it puts fear into people sometimes about what are they going to say? What was my life like before? How was it that I met Jesus? And then what is my life like afterwards? Because it's simple. My life is different to your life. And it's not something that you know, when we're talking about our testimonies with people, we've got to realise that it has to be relevant to the situation that we're in. It needs to be real. It's my story. It can be your story. I can tell and talk about a bit of your story because I've heard it. But it needs to be my story. It needs to be real. But it needs to be relational. It needs to understand the relationship that I'm in with the person that I'm talking to. Because our testimonies are our personal things that we walk with and our experience of what our lives were like before. I don't know what your lives were like before unless you tell me. I don't know how you met Jesus unless you tell me. And I don't know how meeting Jesus has changed you from where you were before unless you tell me. And unless you are prepared to give an account and a reason for the hope that you have. And explain to people so they understand why
believe? Why do we have a hope in the living God? Because a couple of weeks ago we showed a video when we were here at Stella's house of a man, of a couple who had been healed and freed from alcohol and drug addiction. Okay? Not 8 years ago. Not a year ago. 6 weeks. 8 months. 8 months ago. Okay? And they felt very strongly. So they weren't like massively what we might term mature Christians. They were Christians that had had their lives massively transformed by God's power. They told us that they were drug addicts and they were alcoholics, so they told us about their life before. They told us that they'd met God, and God had healed them, and had stopped that addiction, and broken that addiction, so we know how they met God. And then they did something about it afterwards, and they believed that they just needed to pray for people. So they just told the story to people walking out of a shop. And there was a guy there with a bad back, and they said, can we pray for you for, breaking addiction to alcohol or drugs? And he goes, I don't have any addictions to alcohol or drugs. Okay, what I've got is a bad back. And they said, well, let's pray for that. A shattered back. He couldn't bend. He couldn't walk properly. He couldn't move properly. But they had faith, okay, and they told their testimony. And they said to this guy, we just want to love on you. We just want to share God's love. Can we pray for you? He said, yeah, that's fine. He said, yeah, that's fine. And he walked off after the prayer, didn't feel anything. He said, but if it is different, I will come back and tell you. Okay? But nothing happened. He walked off with his daughter, and he came back and he said, this is the one. And he gave it to us. And then that guy was healed. That guy was healed. And what did that guy do? That guy said, to the next person he saw, okay, he was bending down and jumping up and saying, I'm going to do disco dancing. That is what he was saying, I'm going to be able to disco dance. His daughter was probably thinking, this is a nightmare, I'm going to see my dad disco dance. Okay, but that was it. But what he did, the next person he saw, he said, my life was like this. Now God has healed me. And I want to tell you that there is something that is different. Okay, that is what having an experience of God, touching our lives, transforming our lives, should do for us. We should be able to explain to people, okay, personally, where you come from, what your life was like before, how you met Jesus and what he did for you, and then what is your life like now? Because the reality, okay, of our lives, sometimes we get to the point that we say where we met Jesus. And then we might give just a small testimony of what our life changed. But our life is constantly changing. And sometimes we slip back into old habits. And our lives start to not reflect the glory of God anymore. And the challenge for us, okay, the challenge for me, the challenge for you, okay, is that we are constantly changed. That we are able to always give a testimony that is relevant to people, that is real, that is relational, that isn't just, I wrote it out and I'm just going to read it out to you. And it's a pre-prepared script. We have to understand the people in front of us. Understand where their issues are. It might not be drugs or alcohol. It might be that they've got a bad back or a crushed spine. But God can still meet them. God wants a relationship with them. And it doesn't matter what you pre-prepare. You need to be able to relate to the people in front of you and the people that don't know Jesus. Because if you don't do it, and I don't do it, and they don't meet Jesus before they die, then they're going to have a really difficult time getting into heaven. And also, I don't know how they're going to meet Christ. I don't know what Christ is going to do, okay? But they're going to have a really difficult time if we don't take on board what our responsibilities are, to give our testimony, to give a reason for the hope that we have. And then the question really is, do our lives truly reflect what Christ has done in our lives? Do our lives truly reflect what Christ has done in our lives? When we talk about our testimonies, when we talk about the after, the lives that we live today, do they still continue to match up to the words we've written out? the testimony of the after, what Christ has done in my life, does it continue to match that? Because sometimes, okay, it is easy, isn't it, to say one thing and do another. It is. I do it. Also. So I'm just putting my hands up and saying I do. Okay? To say one thing, or preach one thing, or say, and we know that as Christians we should be doing something in this way, but actually we're doing it in a different way. Okay? People, you know, before people meet God, okay, there's a lack of peace in their heart, they're fearing lots of things, there's no meaning to their life, okay? They're lonely, they're lacking security, they're lacking purpose, they're lacking significance. Lots of things are issues in our lives before we meet Christ. You know, we tend to fill those with lots of things, like, you know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whether it's lots of hobbies, more work, okay, sex. We fill our lives with all of these things, trying to fill the gap that is actually Christ. And then when we meet Him, our life should be different. Our life should be different. The challenge for us is to continue to live a life, okay, that brings glory and honour to the one that we serve, the one that we love. Okay? And your challenge, my challenge, okay, is that the world is going to be transformed through the words that we speak into it because of our testimonies. For the reason for the hope that we have. For how we met Christ. How our lives have been transformed. But people will look at your life. Won't they? Your friends will look at your life. And say, is that a Christian life? Is it a Christian life? Is my life a Christian life? Are the things I do bringing glory and honour to the name of Jesus? Because what we do after we met Jesus is massively important. And the testimony of our hearts should be reflected throughout our life. In our words and in our actions. In the way that we treat people, in the way we speak about people. I don't do it. I'm just being honest. You know, there are things I do that are right, and there are things I do that are not right. There are things I say that are right, and there are things I say that are not right. And I let myself down. Okay? And we do need to repent of those things and say, sorry, and turn around and go in a different direction. I need to do that as well. But our lives need to reflect, okay, what Christ has put inside of us. Our lives need to continue to be transformed. So that our testimony is one that people are drawn into. That our lives are reflecting Jesus. Because it's Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus is the answer to the world. And our lives transform. And when people can see our lives transformed, they can be drawn to the reason that our lives are transformed. And that is going to be because Jesus met us. Jesus did something in my life. And now I'm walking in a different way. Now I see the world in a different way. Now I care about the world in a different way. I love the people He said to love. I do it, I put it into action. You do it, and you put it into action. And people will say, why do you do that? Well, because I met Jesus. And that man transformed my life. That's why I do it. Because I'm going to love the world, like He said to love the world. To love the people that He said to love, that nobody else cares about. That's the Christian life. It's simple. So testimony isn't about bringing fear, about writing out lots of things and having a pre-prepared script. Your testimony is your life. It's your experience of God. What it was like before. How you met Him. And what is your life like today? And if you want a testimony that is truly reflective of Christ, you need to make sure that you are making decisions that glorify His name. It is too easy for us, for me, to make decisions and say things that are absolutely wrong. Whether it's to my children, to my wife, to my friends, okay? But on the outside, people still come and I say, People still think I'm doing the right thing, but actually I'm doing things and saying things that don't bring glory and honour to God. Our testimony is our life. And people are going to be drawn to Christ through the actions of what you do. You know, so many times, okay, we talk about it in this church. Okay, we say, you know, faith without works, okay? We are saved. You are all saved. You could sit there and do nothing. And you're still going to go to heaven. But that is not what Jesus wants. He wants us to transform this world by doing stuff. Not out of duty. And we keep saying this, not out of duty, but out of love. Love for Him. Why I'm getting passionate about this is because it is absolutely fundamental to our lives. We could sit here and do nothing, and you're still going to go to heaven. But then what a lot of us do is sit here and do nothing. And Christ has called us to do something. There are people on our streets of Leeds that have no home, that have no food. But what does it say in the Bible we should do? So it's just simple, okay? I want our lives, where we can, and the challenge for you and the challenge for me, is that our life is our testimony. Our life reflects His truth. His word. His life. People will be drawn to that. If Christians do what it says in the Bible and what Jesus asked us to do, okay, we could be changed the way the world sees Christians. Not as people that are judgmental and critical, but as people that love and care and cherish. And I know that millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of Christians across the world do that. We do that. But we need to transform the way that people perceive Christians. And we're going to do that through our actions. Through our lives reflecting Christ. Through your words, through your actions, through your interactions with people. Reflecting Christ. That's going to be your testimony. Your testimony, what you have an impact on the people when they hear your words. Of how Christ has transformed your life. And I was like this. And we've been friends for a couple of years. Okay. And they will see a change. And they'll say, why is that? Why is that happening? And you'll say, because Jesus has touched my life. And this is what's happening. So, are we prepared to give a testimony? Are we prepared to give a testimony? And one that will truly reflect the impact that Jesus has had on our lives. Your challenge and my challenge, brothers and sisters, is to get our lives right, to make the right decisions, to make the right choices, so that testimony that we give brings glory to His name. It's relevant to the people that we see in front of us. Okay? It's real. Okay? And it's relational. Okay? Because it isn't just a written script. It's a life. It's not a written script. It's your life. And a life transformed by Christ is one worthy to share it with everybody. And that's all it is. Okay? So, we're going to pray.
Lord, really just pray that